And just like that, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 15, San Diego, Episode 10, Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Sounds so excited. I love it. I love it, man. Because you see, I can see the excitement in your eyes.
Dreaded it. After a long day today, I was like, shit, I got to watch this. And then I'm sitting there watching it. I'm just like, oh my God, y'all are so annoying. But let's make fun of them.
Well, let's start with our favorite couple to make fun of. Well, let's be honest, they all are. So let's just start with Lindy and Miguel then. How about that? And, you know, it's funny because Miguel made it very clear early on in this episode, this ain't a milestone. It's just a stone. And Lindy, really and truly, you are the pebble in my shoe that's irritating the shit out of me. That's what he wanted to say, but Miguel being the gentleman he is, he didn't.
He pulls a Terrell's like, hey, Lindy, I'm going to need you to dial that back just a little bit.
Yes.
Well, hold on. Did you notice in the beginning?
You haven't seen the worst of me.
Miguel's cooking, and I'm thinking to myself, does Lindy cook? Because we've not seen her cook. Not saying, ladies, that she has to cook. It was just an observation. I haven't seen her cook anything.
We also haven't seen her hold a consistent job, have insurance.
That's what I'm saying. You can't come to the table. Okay, you don't have insurance. I get it. You don't like to work a lot. I get it. But you better be able to make some damn good food. Like, you just can't have, you know, you got to have bring some things to the table.
You know what she brought? Her ability to walk away from God and her virginity. That's it. Oh, and her attitude. Because the fact that she was like, you haven't seen me at my worst. And then she tells him, you know, buckle up. Like, wait a minute. And this, why do women do this, man? Help me understand. Why do women say, you know, I'm a lot to handle. You know, get ready for the ride. You know, how about changing that tune and go get some damn therapy? Because obviously there's some help needed somewhere. And I know I'm not the only one who watched this and was like, red flag, run, Miguel, run.
I think women say that because it gives them the out to be an asshole.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, well, you've not seen me at my worst. I've been through some things. I'm just like, come on now. You know, we should all be adults, be able to handle our stuff. But if there's more to the drama of Lindy than what we've seen so far, this is going to be interesting. And it's going to totally push Miguel away. Because why would it?
He's going to look at his face when she said that, right?
If you know your worst is not your best, why not work on your worst so it's not your worst? I don't know if that makes sense. But I'm like,
no, that's a word. That's perfect. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thank you. Yeah. If you know you suck at this part, work on that. Just don't be like, look, I suck at this. Deal with it.
You know, they say, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You know what your weakest link is. It's that goddamn attitude. Fix it.
Yeah. It was like, look, Terrell, I burn eggs. That's just what I do. And I'm like, okay. So how do you want your eggs? I'm like, I don't want eggs. Just make something different.
Mission accomplished. I don't have to cook. Yeah. That's why she's not in the kitchen. You know, I think we just solved that. Look at this. On to world peace. Let's go. We've been doing great at fixing these things. And, you know, here's another bad side. Here's another red flag. And, again, what I like about Miguel, he'll call it out. He'll point it out. He'll tell her about it, right? Because they get the wedding pictures. They get the vows and, you know, just as they're looking at the pictures, before they even get to the vows, they're looking at the pictures, and everything she's saying is very critical, pretty negative. And to me, it looks just like every time she says something bad, it's like, bow, it's another nail in that coffin of their marriage, because that shit is done. Miguel is waiting for 4 more weeks. He said, 4 more weeks of sex, and I'm out.
Get me through this. Jesus, I don't believe in. Get me through this.
28 nuts to go.
Well, I made a note of that Miguel wanted more of an emotional connection with Lindy as they were going through the wedding pics and rereading the vows. And I don't know, maybe that's her nervous twitch. Like when she just feels uncomfortable, she just gets a little bit too goofy. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't think they were quite expecting the same thing out of that. Maybe she was just looking at it like the rest of us are, is like, this is crazy. Y'all married strangers 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Like, I still can't. This is my, third season? And I still can't fathom doing what they're doing.
You know, what they do well together, though, is they lie to the other couples very well. Because they do not bring any of their shit in front of the couples. You notice that they came out and Miguel lied to the other couples so that they can appear happy as hell and like, you know, it's been just so great. We're just so great.
Well, not everybody. You got some people that want to bring the pain and spill the tea about our relationship. Could you imagine you and me just out? So Cheryl, how's things going with the podcast? You know what I don't like about Yanni?
Oh my God. You know, it's crazy because as we get to a Lion Morgan and Stingy Ben, or maybe we need to change his name, man, because he is Tell All Ben right now, because but here's the thing, they pick up from where they gave us last week, right?
Yeah.
The question I have for us is, was he wrong to run to Alexis and Justin, or was Morgan wrong for leaving and not giving a real answer and just, you know, sitting there like an adult and talking it out?
That's a good question. But my first question is,
thank you,
why is Justin on speakerphone? There's guy code. Why is he on speakerphone? Period.
You got to have two guys for there to be guy code. So let's just go that route. Continue.
But see, you give me shit where I'm always like, let me put my AirPods in. You're like, you're at home by yourself. I'm like, it's just the principle. I don't understand the people that are on speakerphone because you never know who could be listening. But back to your original question. I think he was right and she was wrong. Because if she's not going to talk to him, he's probably going to Alexis like, what the hell did you say that I said?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know if he said those things the way that Alexis heard it. Because again, if Justin's on speaker, she's playing with the dog, she could be doing something, and she maybe catches part of it. I don't know. Now, if he's laying in the bed next to her on speaker, that's even worse. Like, I think no matter what, Ben needs to stop talking to Justin, because Justin has loose lips. Big loose lips.
The thing about it is, we knew this from the honeymoon. He told on the honeymoon. Why are you still talking to this man that you just met, that you're infatuated with, that y'all should have been the couple, because y'all would have been great together, Ben. You and Justin would have been a great couple. It'd be happy, happy, go lucky right now, because why are you still, pillow talking with him? I don't get it. I know. But I mean, literally, it's what he's doing, especially if he's laying in the bed with Alexis, got the phone on speaker. You won't believe this shit. Listen, what do you think she's going to do?
I don't even think it's the phone calls like that. I just think he calls him. Hey, you. You. What are you doing? You got a minute?
Can we talk? Yeah.
He Tevin Campbell'd him? Is that what
in more ways than one. So we're keeping up with the news, you understand that joke a little bit more. Now, here's the thing, though. With Morgan, for her to be angry and needing to let off some steam, she's pretty passive on the pads, man. I mean, it's like, Look, why is Ben afraid that she'll kick his ass? Apparently not. Even when she's mad, she can't hit the pads with any force.
No, the notes I took about Morgan is I have a lot of concerns about her. Mm-hmm. And again, she was my fave from the Bachelorette party.
Yeah.
And she's just totally gone down. Now I'm wondering, is she going to be that character that bombs and then the next 4 weeks, all of a sudden we like her again? I don't know.
How?
But she's such a baby. And these tantrums that she does is ridiculous. The throwing the flowers down, like, really? Like, she's like a child, the way she was that upset and not even listening as he's trying to answer. I just didn't understand that.
You know, that's the funny thing about it, right? Because Ben is sitting there like a clueless kid. We're like, okay, well, maybe we'll have a great day. And you almost feel sorry for him because you know what's coming. You can see it. The only person can't see it is him, right? And then she comes walking in on 15 on a scale of 1 to 10. She comes in on 15 like, ah! And then she gets so mad and goes, now, I want you to tell me the truth. And then says he's not listening when She didn't give him a second to talk. Every time he talked, she talked over him. And like, and you're not saying anything. What the fuck am I supposed to say?
She came walking up just like, you told Harpo to beat me. Like, she's just all Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, just angry. But hold on, though. Why couldn't they get Ben some water and get that white shit off his lips?
Well, I was hoping it was just light. I wasn't looking that close.
I was like, what is that on his look away. Mouth? Get the man a glass of water. He's getting blasted. At least let him quench his thirst because his
mouth was dry. You know what that was? That was fair on his lip. That was a heavy dose of fear.
Okay, but so here's the other note that I made. You have these couples who are doing something that many of us would never even think about doing. Each of them going to bond with somebody, and that's what happens. Every season I've seen, you know, certain people bond. Mm-hmm. So what if Justin is his friend in the bubble?
It is.
And that's who he talks to. So he's going to have someone to talk to. Now,
yes,
what we don't know is verbatim what he said that Alexis told Morgan. Because I don't know how bad it was. And if it's just like little stuff, like, yeah, we got into it over this, but, you know, it's no big deal. That's just two people talking. So I don't know what he said, but I feel like Morgan is just, she really needs some therapy. She's been hurt really bad somewhere in her past. And she said, I want you to see me and know how much you hurt me every day. Yeah, I'm going to sign up for that. That's awesome. Let's do this for the next 4 weeks.
Ben doesn't, and we know Ben is going to stick it out because he's stingy. He doesn't want to give back any of that money. Okay. So, therefore he's going to stick out those next 4 weeks. Cause you and me would have been like, exactly. You and me, we'd have both been like, yeah. So on that note, decision made. I'll holler at you at the reunion, you know, plain and simple. The producers would be like, are you going to the room? No, I'm going to hell home.
I'm going home. And is there like a directory of previous cast members from the other seasons? Because...
But here's the thing. You make a great point, right? About they're in the bubble. They only have each other to talk to. This is who you're connected with. We don't know exactly what was said, but here's what we do know. Ben keeps picking the wrong person to talk to. Stop talking to Justin because, one, he's always got you on speakerphone, so your business is out there for... I do not like if I call you and somebody's in the room or in your car and you don't say, hey, say hello to so-and-so. I do to everybody all the time. My wife is in the car. I'm like, hey, say hello to my wife. Don't talk bad about her. And, you know, I make a joke out of it, right?
But you do because you know me
when I say that.
You know me when we greet each other on the phone. It's like you could have your wife or your daughter. I don't know. It's not like you. It's good you let me know because I don't have a lot of experience around kids and I tend to say things.
Exactly. And that's what
appropriate.
I know my friends and that's why I do that. And apparently, you know, Ben doesn't know his friend because he doesn't even know this man has him on speakerphone. Crazy. As we move on to Kristen, and I'm going to steal this nickname from I forget who put it in the comments last week, but son of a Mitch. I love that. I was like, yo, I'm stealing that shit, god damn it.
Son of a Mitch.
It just flows so well. I mean,
it does.
You can write the obituary if you want, but I like this.
I hope they don't have a boy. I hope they don't have a boy because that just, he's tarnished.
Yeah.
Before he's even born, his name is ruined.
Facts. Yo, Kristen has done such a good job of convincing herself that this is going to work out, that she almost forgot. As we first see them on the show today, she's almost forgotten how bad it really is. And for her to even say she doesn't even know if she and Mitch are a match. Well, we knew. And we knew this all season long. We knew this the previous nine episodes. It wasn't until later that we find out that she actually knows it too. But and we'll get to that. But the fact that she's sitting there just heaping all this praise on him at the start of the episode was, like, confusing to me.
You know, I think she's... We've said this before about Kristen, that she's going to go all out. I mean, she's going to do everything she can to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
But what I liked about her this episode is it's almost as if she's realizing, I'm losing myself by faking it this much. And when she made the comment about her parents And she's like, but what, when she, her and her friend were doing the painting or Play-Doh thing they were doing, mm-hmm. she goes, what if my parents don't approve, you know, of how someone treats me? And my first thought was, yes. But what if you don't approve of how someone treats you? Regardless exactly. of what your parents think. Like, why are you okay with this?
Well, remember, she picked up her last fiance on somebody else's couch. So, I mean, apparently she's not a good judge of character.
Or judge, taking in strays.
Apparently. That's why she wasn't completely grossed out by Mitch's kitchen, his stove, and his damn bathtub. And like, but yet, that was a great point. Because I thought that weird when she said she was worried about what her parents would think about the way he's treating her. And, you know, here's the thing. We saw seeds of this planted last episode where she said about losing herself, right? Yep. And then we see this even more. And I think that moment with her friend almost played out to be the point that, like, that's another moment of revolution, right? And in saying that, it almost, she probably had to play it back in her head, like, why the hell would I say that? Why am I worried about what they think of how he treats me if I'm not worried about the way he's treating me? Maybe there's a problem here.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that it's like she's, this whole episode was her coming to terms with that, because you had the conversation she had with her friend, then fast forward to them at dinner. Yes. And, you know, they're, she asked him to go first, say what you think, and he's just...
That was a perfect setup, by the way.
It was. It was like, no, you go ahead. I'm gonna close this out.
It caught me off guard, because I'm like, oh, she wants to see how good or bad he's going to go before she goes completely good for him. When she hit me with an uppercut that I didn't see coming.
Yeah. I think she was right about how she's going to lose her shit if she keeps trying to be this fake person. And I think she was right to call him out for him saying that I didn't know if I was ready to be a husband. She's like, you signed up to be on a show to be a husband.
He said that about two episodes ago, too, didn't he?
Or was it last week? Yeah, and I'm just like, why would you sign up if you're not sure you're ready? And who knows if anyone's ever ready? I mean, I've never just woken up one day and be like, I'm ready to be married today.
Today, I'm ready to be a husband.
Yeah, today, it's good. I feel different today. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to get married. Like, it's a process for anybody. But why sign up for a show if you don't think you're ready for that? So I thought it was great that she called him out. Mm-hmm. And she even said, you know, when does Kristen stop compromising? I'm like, love it, girl. That was nice.
Two things on that. One, I wish she would have called him out on the fact, like, I have compromised everything. You have compromised nothing. Right? And I wish she would have really called him out on that. Or even gone, I've compromised 90%. You've compromised 10%. Because you wore that shirt 10% of the time we were at this with the rest of the couples.
The dog.
And the dog. So that even if it's 80-20, it's a marriage. It should be 50-50. This is all off balance, right? And so, and that's why she's frustrated. However, I thought it was a little hypocritical of her. It's because, you know, when Mitch says this thing and everybody's like, yeah, Mitch, you know, we see the improvement. And everybody is hashtag Team Mitch. Where does that come from? Oh, on the honeymoon. She told them, I want you guys to be Team Mitch. So when everybody's sitting at the table being Team Mitch, except for Alexis, because you saw the look on her face. She gave that she gave that look, right? But everybody else is heaping praise on Mitch because she asked them to, remember?
No, but the guys praise Mitch. The ladies didn't.
Okay, good point. And she asked the girls, but yeah. Okay, good
point. Yeah, she asked the girls, not the guys. They weren't there.
No, but you know, I mean.
But I'm glad you said I had a good point. It's rare. I'm going to take this moment.
It was, but you know, and I know what it felt for her because, and this is what I thought was hypocritical. She asked everybody to be Team Mitch, and then all of a sudden, them doing that, it felt like that was the final straw that broke the camel's back and made her go, hold up, what about me? Right?
Yeah.
Because the problem is, she's never said that to him.
Yeah. I agree. I feel
what?
Like it's
say
a
that
lot
again,
of couples...
please. I can't hear you. I think
I said I agree. I think it's a lot of couples that don't communicate well at all. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I can relate. I've not been married, though, but I can relate to being a poor communicator in some relationships. But I've learned that you got to be able to talk and say some stuff. And some stuff the person might not like, but you got to say it. Or else it's going to eat at you, and then you wind up blowing, you know?
Exactly. And this is what she did. And unfortunately, she did in front of everybody. I thought that he took it well. I will say this. He took it well. He sat there and just took it all in. He didn't get defensive. He didn't go all Justin on her. You know, we'll get to him in a little bit. But we can't gloss over the fact that Stasha and Nate took their dog, Luna's, took the dog Luna when Kristen and Son of a Mitch went on their getaway, right? Stasha's face when Kristen was showing her how to clean that fold.
Yeah.
And Luna, hilarious. And Mitch, I love the fact that Mitch was just sitting in the corner laughing at all. It's like, do that.
Yeah. You talking all that shit about me being gross. You deal with it. You get those boogers out. Tell me how you feel.
Here's two questions I have. If Nate was the one that wanted the damn dog, why wasn't he there learning how to take care of this dog too? And number two, why on earth, if you love this dog so much, would you leave your dog with Stasha when you see that she obviously does, like, you wouldn't leave your dog with me. You might leave your dog with my wife, but you would not leave your dog with me. Why? Because you know that dog is probably going to be begging for you to come back.
I'll leave my dog with you because I know there's going to be cameras in the house with a camera crew following you watching my dog. Thus, I'm going to feel everything's going to be okay.
Hey, and somebody on the crew is going to be like, yo, give the dog some goddamn water, please.
Yeah. It's like, fine, Yanni won't do it. I'll do it. Come here. Give him some water. Give him some food. Let me get your nose. Lift him up by digging the poles.
So they go, and we can't not bring up Mitch's moaning because he talks so much shit about the dogs snoring, and then he moaned through the entire damn yoga. Like he was having a moment.
But Mitch is older. I mean, I can relate. You know, these knees
touché
aren't what they used to be. And so there's a lot of times, just sometimes just getting out of bed, you're like,
You have no, if you are young, you have no idea how much that sound helps that move.
Yeah.
It's like when you're boxing and they say, you know, you got to make that sound every time you punch because you got to let it out because you get let that. So that's all it is, exhaling. So that's what you're saying he was doing. It was
yeah, that's that. Doing. That's that. It's that old man Deadpool maximum effort. You know, I'm just, yeah. Maximum effort.
What did you think when they got their 1 month anniversary basket and they had the pictures? They looked at the pictures. He's like, "Oh, if you look closely, you can see the Band-Aid." We all saw it. Trust me, we could all see it. Okay. But when they got to the vows, Kristen's vows were literally right on point. And kudos to Son of a Mitch for realizing he is a Son of a Mitch. And his vows were a complete pile of shit. They were all lies.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that wrote vows and then 4 weeks later, they're like, yo, I didn't mean all that. I mean, you gotta give me some creative freedom within these vows.
Not some creative freedom.
Yeah.
You know, that was writer's courtesy right there. Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is the ghostwriter part. They filled this part in. I don't need any of that.
Just so I wouldn't plagiarize.
I had one of Drake's days. Homeboys hook me up. Give me some lines.
Oh, my God. Yo, let's go on to Stasha and Nate, man. Stasha comes off like the pretty girl with the ugly girl insecurities, right? Even though it's usually the other way around because the ugly girl's got the pretty girl's securities. But she just seems very insecure, doesn't she?
She does. And it could be that maybe she's a victim of pretty privilege, right? You know, right. People have always looked at her that she's beautiful and either just took advantage of that, only liked her because of that, and didn't recognize all the other things that makes her great. Except when she cries. Like, we all know that, right, that just...
The devil is escaping.
It was weird. It just looks like red gumballs. Like, someone put a quarter in her mouth and just pressed her nose and see if a gumball comes out.
She turns into a cartoon character when she cries.
Yes, it's like,
you know, the cartoons, they all die. So that's the
it's like Wile E. Coyote eats something hot and his eyes turn red and get really big. That's what she looks like.
I thought it was an interesting situation when her and her mom were on that outing, because I thought their get together was good, right? Because, yeah. But the mom taking a lot of that onto her own shoulders, I thought was I can't say a bit much, because kids are impacted by what their parents do and what their parents stick through, and you can't really say how everyone's going to react to it, right? And mm-hmm. parents do have an influence on their kids, more so than they ever really know.
Yeah, they do, but I've always said kids can be resilient. I'm a product of divorce, and not every kid has it, what you see on, you know, an awesome after-school special. Mm-hmm. But I think that Stasia is on just a different level than Nate. I think she's more woman. Like, she knows where she's at in life, knows what yes. she wants, and has her life together, where Nate's trying to figure that out. Now, what I don't like about Nate, it's almost like he says things to her mm-hmm. to kind of knock her down a notch, to where he can look at her eye to eye, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. You know, she's professionally, she's leaps and bounds ahead of him.
Yeah.
As a, you know, what people might call responsible adult, you know, she has her properties and all that stuff. She's on a level that he's not on yet, that he aspires to get to.
Right.
But he's not there. And so he says these little things to her that feel like are intentional to kind of knock her down a notch.
But at the same time, though, I mean, take, for instance, I get what you're saying in that. But at the same time, she's putting a lot on him. And people pointed this out a lot last week, because I think we gave him shit and didn't give her a whole lot on the fact that she was kind of rushing his emotions. Even her mom was like, yo, it's 4 weeks. her mom was like, it's only been a month. And I think that was when it almost hit her to be like, okay, I need to dial it back a bit. Because even her mom was just telling her, like, it's only been a month. Chill out. You know? But I understand her reasoning for it. But you could also at the same time see her insecurities in it, right? But as Nate, and Nate isn't helping those insecurities. As he's trying to knock her down a peg or two to bring her down to his level so he feels a little bit, you know, more equal, that's only feeding into her insecurities, right?
Right.
But then we got to see her in her power position, right? When they went to the lawyer's office. I'm assuming it's her lawyer's, right? And that's why Nate was just like, do you want to, oh, Luna's standing at the door, you want to bring her with us? He's like, hell no. I need all my wits about me. I don't need this dog distracting me, because you're going to make me sign my life away. I thought the terms were pretty fair. If you, whatever you put in, that's what you take out if we decided to get a divorce. But why does she have to pull that power play on him? And, you know, because if one person is putting in 90%, if one person is putting in 90% and somebody is putting in 10% and she's just pointing at him in the 10%. Well,
but she's valid, because if she makes $450,000, he makes $150,000, they're not putting in the same amount every month.
She could have said 60-40. She could have made it sound better.
But it is what it is. She's just being real with it. He's real with her. You know, remember last week's episode? There, you got your feelings?
So you wanted emotions? You got
it. Yeah. Now she's like, well, here's my emotions.
Money,
like these apples. You know, but I heard that and I thought it was odd. Like, to me, why not just keep your separate accounts and then you put money into a joint account? Because what she was describing is both of their incomes would come into this joint account and then they would take money out for their other investments. I'm like, why not keep your account separate and then just have this one account and you both contribute the same amount
to that one account? Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic, because you're talking about old school versus new school, right? And you're right. And I like the fact that we'll keep our businesses separate. And she did that purposely, because he's already bankrupted one business and she wasn't about to let him do that to any of hers. you know what? She thought that thing through, right?
And look, she's no Melania.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Nate thinks he's all business, right? Like, he's, oh yeah, I'm business. So like, I'm this. And then the look on Stasha's face while they were signing, that told you who was all business, man. She was just like literally stone-faced.
You could see her in a meeting just being that hard ass. That's the look that she wanted to give. And that was her in her power position.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Nate that I don't like, that I feel like he's fake. He says the right things and all that, but I just... And again, maybe I'm being judgy because I'm only seeing him on TV. I'm not in person with the dude, but he just comes across fake. But I feel like he's not balling and this like business executive that he thinks that he is.
Yeah. You know, the thing though about Nate, and because we've come down on Nate a lot, but I will say one of the things I like about him, and I like that he's done, and especially on this week's episode, he told us straightforward how the things that she was doing is hurting him. And he called her out on her shit, too, and on belittling him. Like, hey, you know, she's stuck on this where are you on this love thing. And she's like, look, hey, these are the things you're doing. I'm trying and you're not giving me anything. And then she kept going back to the love thing anyway. And then he, you know, well, I'll give you a 7 or 8. And she's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, you know, if it was me, I'd have given you a 4.5 for acting like that. Yay.
Hey, but that's a big raise. A 30-point raise?
Yes, it was. To 40 point.
Yeah, 30 to 40 points? That doesn't happen. At my job, at the end of the year, I'm not getting a 30% increase.
I know, right? So, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it?
Well, what'd you think of the tattoos? Would you have done the tattoos?
So, I have a tattoo. So, I have nothing against tattoos. But my point that, or the question I left at the end of my notes for them is, how does a tattoo that you can get removed or covered show commitment?
It's in a painful place. So, they can at least, it's going to take a lot to, you know, cover it up. Maybe.
But I mean, you can still get it covered or removed.
Yeah.
I don't see how that shows commitment.
It's symbolic commitment. I mean, just like the ring is symbolic commitment, but it's a symbol of commitment. That's what it is.
I say, like, it's like fraternities and sororities. You get a brand. That's commitment.
That's also cattle.
Forever, ever.
You can brand over it if you wanted to. One thing we can't go past on this, man, is this next couple. Alexis and Justin. One of the things we noticed when they first come on is basically Alexis has to calm down a 5-year-old before he throws a tantrum. And that 5-year-old just happens to be almost 8 feet tall.
He's just a big baby. I don't want to go to school, Mom. I mean, he's just a baby.
Facts. Jesus.
Just a big, tall baby. And I want to say maybe episode 3 or 4 is where I think Alexis called out that he's super sensitive, that she's going to have to figure out a way to work around that. You know, but his sensitivity makes him bratty like a child that needs a nap. I mean, that's what he comes across like. He's just sleepy.
He's just spanking, like, some time out and a nap.
Yeah. Get him some animal crackers, a juice box, and a nap. He'll be back to his good old self in about 30 minutes.
Yo, Alexis definitely has the patience of Job, because Jesus Christ, there is no way. Like those Bible references just now. There's no way I know anybody that would put up with that man and his tantrums like that. Like, geez, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't see how she does it either. But, you know, not a whole lot with them in the beginning. But when they got to the party bus, I called it. I didn't like that Avoid the Noid outfit that she had on. That's what it reminded me of. Just that whole pink outfit she had on. I was just like, I didn't care for it. I like the fact that Alexis can rock what Alexis wants to rock, and it works for her. I just didn't like it.
So you wouldn't have left with her, huh? You'd be like, so is that what you're going to wear? I know you don't, I know you don't,
But babe, don't you want to bring your best self? I mean, there's camera crews. There's people. I just want you to, like, you know, bring your best self out with you. Not like this. This is not your best.
Take that college best outfit back. Take that City Trends outfit back.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't sign you up for the Shake What Your Mama Gave You contest. You don't have to wear that. It's okay.
You know, it's funny because watching them on the bus, on the party bus, right? They knew, and they just were like, oh, no, they're just not coming. That's all. But just when you...
This bus feels a little light. Anyone else? This bus feels a little light?
Exactly. You know, just when you thought Kristen was going to have the most awkward moment of the dinner, along comes Justin, and oh my God. What happened there, man? I mean, I thought we saw his tantrum at the start of the episode, but shit, what happened?
No, I mean, he is... Really, really, you got nothing to say? You want to talk about our relationship? Nothing? No, I'm good. I just want to listen. I want to talk right now. So you got nothing.
Just... He is the only person at that table that did not pick up on do not... He did not grow up around black women. I can tell.
His mom. He grew up around a lot of women because it's like when she says, I'm good, I don't even say, be thankful.
Exactly.
Don't say anything else.
No, you're going to get don't it later. The bear. Leave it alone.
Let it go. Yeah. If she's going to be mad, you will find out eventually. Right there at dinner, eat the cornbread, shut the hell up.
Even Miguel's like, no. You don't. If you don't want to, no. Miguel's been around some black women before. No. You don't want to. It's okay. We're good.
I think the one that was the most happy at the table was Mitch. He's like, they're not looking at me anymore, right? Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Mitch was like, hey, Justin, pound.
Yes.
You know, the thing about it, Justin, I think, was almost like making up for those episodes where he didn't cry. By being super emotional, acting like a 2-year-old. I mean, obviously he started off as a 5-year-old at the beginning of the episode and regresses to a 2-year-old now. Because even after he gets her to finally say what he wanted to say. Say something about the marriage. She says what she says, tells him, pours her heart out, tells him how she feels. He's like, yeah, but what about tonight? What did I do wrong? And he's still stuck on the wrong thing. And she's like, yo, really? After all I said, that's what you're going to get stuck on?
Yeah, I don't know why he was so hung up on that. I mean, I really think, and he even called it out when he's talking to his brother when they're fishing, that he gets in his own head. And I think that he is so far in his own head that it's ruining him. But
yeah.
I also believe that Alexis is done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's checked out. She's just going to go through the motions with no sex for the next 4 weeks and be out. Because she's going to stay celibate until decision day.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be interesting because it looks like they're going to have a good, at least some, they've got them faking the funk next week, except for one couple. So I'm looking forward to more sparks from Morgan and Ben. And I'm waiting for Ben to snap. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on Ben to snap because she is bullying him right now, at least what we see in the previews for next week's episode. So looking forward to that. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and he's letting her do it. And that's the thing that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
Is my
she
guess.
Needs him to man up. You know what? Yeah. You're right.
You're being
she
too
did
nice.
Say that.
Yeah, you're being right. Too nice. She needs to get checked every now and then. Not physical check. Mm-hmm. Just saying that she needs a guy that's going to be like, you need to calm your shit down.
Yeah. She doesn't
pick
need
them
to,
flowers up. Let's do this like a boss.
This is where Nate, he should be talking to Nate because Nate will tell him, hey, look, man up. Oh, wait, have an attitude that at least matches those muscles.
I didn't hand you those flowers on the floor, did I? Okay, pick those up. That's what Nate would do. You pick those up.
Oh, those would be the last. Oh, well, those are the last flowers you get.
Yeah, you better hold on to those. Hang them upside down because you're going to need. You could need them to last a while.
Oh, don't forget we're back on Monday with our regular audio episodes. Actually, next week is going to be episode 100. Mm. Who knew we'd get this far?
I sure didn't.
And then Tuesday we dropped the video. And of course, next Thursday, back here again, Married at First Sight, season 15, San Diego. Terrell's new favorite show.
I'm hoping maybe next week is the recap episode.
It's not.
God damn it. Doesn't hurt to wish.
All right, keep wishing on that star, man. You never know. It could come true. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.